Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore, or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. To honor all copyright restrictions, we have removed some audio elements from this sermon. And now, can you please give attention to the following scripture reading?
As we need a silent night, I invite you to hear these words from Scripture. And I invite you to stand for the reading of the honor of Scripture. The passage comes from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. May this scripture teach us a new way of living. You may be seated.
My name is Jeff Klinger. I'm one of the congregational care pastors here at Church of the Resurrection, and it is a joy to be with you in worship this evening. If you haven't done so already, I would invite you to take out of your bulletin your GPS. It's your Grow, Pray, Study guide. There are daily scripture readings and some questions for reflection and meditation in there for each day of the week. And you're also then invited to use that space on the front should there be something that you might want to jot down this evening during the sermon. We hope and trust that there might be something that you'd like to reflect on later throughout the course of the week. Tonight we are making a transitional time, if you will, making a transition from our Reset series and moving into the Advent season. Moving out of Reset and looking at Thanksgiving and Advent together, ultimately looking at Christmas, and we will be asking ourselves the question, what might it mean for us if we truly lived out that Reset to which we've been called, and if we celebrated this year a new kind of Christmas? Now, if some of you might not have been with us during the Reset series, I want to invite you this evening anyways to hear that call to reset. Throughout the sermon, I invite you to listen to God's voice speaking to you and inviting you to reset your priorities and to begin living in a way that might lead you into a celebration of a new kind of Christmas. During these last 3 weeks and the Reset series, we spent time looking at biblical wisdom for tough economic times. And each step of the way during these 3 weeks, we had the opportunity to reset our priorities and our lives, the ways in which we utilize the resources that God has entrusted to us. And so it is my hope and it is my prayer that tonight you might be thinking about these things and finding ways to apply them to these weeks that are ahead. If you remember the first week that we gathered together and thought about this reset, we began by asking ourselves the question, how did we get here? And as we asked that question, we wrestled with some difficult questions about the current economic crisis and ultimately came to the conclusion that at their core, many of the issues that we have are spiritual issues. On the second week, then, we began to look at those issues and the ways in which we might find some solution to those problems. We were invited to reset our lives specifically to name and to claim a mission, a vision, and a purpose for ourselves so that we might begin to live out that reset and to step away from some of those financial problems that have become so troubling. And last week, then, as we concluded this series, we talked a bit about the issue of fear. We talked about how fear, even though it can be a gift from God, also can be paralyzing and can trap us and can cause us to become stuck in ourselves. And so we ended with a challenge to step outside of ourselves, to look beyond our own concerns and our own fear, and to look to the world around us, to the ways in which we might serve and share God's love with others. This is exciting stuff. It's challenging, sure, but there is great potential. If we might actually think about considering this reset, if we might commit ourselves to this new way of living, the hope and the possibilities are endless. And so tonight we are gathering together to listen to God speaking to us and to dream about these possibilities of what it might mean to live out this reset. Now, if you're like me and you're excited about this opportunity to reset, if you feel a sense of hope about what it might mean for God to begin working in your life in this new way, I would also imagine that you are aware of the need to reset on an ongoing basis. I know that for myself, I have to reset daily, if not more frequently, making sure that the decisions that I make and the things that I'm doing are in line with what God would be having me do. I was made brutally aware of my need to reset continually about a week and a half ago now. My wife Heather and I were getting ready to come home from the hospital. We had just delivered our baby girl Hannah, and as we prepared to leave, I decided that I'd run to Target and that I'd pick up some prescriptions and get a couple of things so that we didn't have to do that as we left the hospital. Shortly before I left the hospital, I was holding Hannah in my arms, and I snapped a picture that I want to share with you tonight. Take a look at this picture. Adorable, isn't she? Two reasons I want you to see this picture tonight. One is that I want you to know what image was ingrained in my brain as I headed across the street to Target. The second is totally selfish. I'm a proud papa and wanted to show her off. But this is the image of Hannah that is burned into my brain as I head across the street to Target to pick up a couple of prescriptions and a couple of things that Heather needs me to get. This is the image that is burned in my brain as I hand those prescriptions to the pharmacy technician and as I say to her, "How long might this take?" Her response is, "Just give me about 20 minutes. And I immediately think to myself, imagine what I can buy for Hannah with that 20 minutes. I convince myself really quickly that she needs some kind of a new outfit, a new coming home outfit that would be a cute thing for her to wear from the hospital to home. And so I head over to the little girl's clothing section and get distracted by a Christmas display because I realize that Hannah needs a stocking. And so my mind begins to reel through all of these things that my not yet 48-hour-old daughter absolutely needs within the walls of this store. I literally stopped in my tracks in the aisle at Target, chuckling to myself, being reminded of the need that we have to reset. And I trust that I'm not alone in that need to continually reset. When I think about the holiday season, I think of ample opportunities that we have to reset our lives, not just when it comes to our financial dealings. Opportunities to reset our lives in a whole host of areas. I think about the level of expectation that we often place upon ourselves and allow others to place upon us when it comes to crafting a perfect holiday meal. The expectation of generations that weighs on our shoulders as we have to do everything just the way grandma and great grandma always did, as we have to craft that perfect holiday meal. But we know that in the midst of those expectations, sometimes unexpected things happen.
Here, we used a movie clip from A Christmas Story where the neighborhood dogs barged into the house and ate the Christmas turkey dinner.
And sometimes when the unexpected happens, we likely feel like the dad wanting to just toss in what little bit is left and give up all hope. But maybe when these unexpected things happen to us, it can be a call to reset. To reset our expectations and to remember what these holidays are truly about. We also, I'm sure, will have the opportunity to reset when it comes to the interactions and the exchanges that we have with our families during the holiday season. Many of us have tense, sometimes broken relationships with members of our families. And without fail, as we spend some extra time together during the holiday season, it brings about increased pressure and tension and frustrations. Maybe it would be that this is an opportunity for us to reset as well. If a certain member of our family has acted in a frustrating or a challenging way the same way for the last 20 or so years, it's probably unrealistic to think that they'll change or that things will be different this year. Adjusting our expectations again, having that reset, might help us with these frustrating family situations. And then the Friday after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, we've come to call it, this coming Friday when many of us will run out to the malls and begin that holiday shopping in frenzy, trying to get there early enough, trying to get the doorbuster deals, trying to be a part of that mass mayhem to make sure that we do all of the shopping that we need to do to buy the gifts, to show our loved ones that we care during this holiday season.
In the next movie clip, a scene from Jingle All the Way was used. The movie clip begins with the toy store clerk opening the doors and getting trampled on by all the customers. Then, everyone is running through the store in a chaotic fashion as they attempt to search for their toy, only to find out that it is sold out.
Yes, if you're wondering, that is the governor of the state of California in one of his lesser-known roles in Jingle All the Way. Now, I trust that none of us have ever acted quite that extreme in our mad frenzy of holiday shopping, but the possibility that that kind of thing exists, and we hear the news stories each year where something like that happens, might that be a call to us to reset, to rethink our priorities moving into this holiday season? And so today we hear this invitation to reset. And I trust that in the coming days and weeks ahead, we will be faced with temptation and with voices calling out to us in a variety of ways. For some of you, it will be the voices of your family and of the expectations that are placed upon you, trying to get you to expect and to perform to the level of expectation for the way that things have always been in the past. For some of you, it will likely be the temptation that comes in dealing with the stress and the frustration, the brokenness and the tension of your family relationships. For some of you, it will be that temptation to stay close to the buffet table, to make sure that you have one more dessert on hand just in case you need some extra chocolate, to make sure that you have one more drink close by just in case you need that to survive your time with your family. And for others of us, the temptation will be strong to make sure that we buy all that we can to share with our loved ones so that they can understand at least what we've been told is the meaning and the reason for the season. I have no doubt that we will be facing a great deal of temptation in these coming weeks. And as we think about all of this, I have to ask the question, what might it mean for us to reset? What might the possibility and the power be in doing things differently and in celebrating a new kind of Christmas? That's what we'll be talking about this evening, the hope that exists for moving and doing things differently in these coming years. I found myself reflecting a lot recently about the energy and the enthusiasm that I sense here at Church of the Resurrection. I typically worship and help lead worship on Sunday mornings, but for the 3 weeks of the Reset series, I had the opportunity and the privilege to be in three different venues throughout the church and to be a part of worship in these different settings. On that first week, I came to worship on Saturday evening, and I found that I really love the evening worship. The energy of everybody coming in from their day, the excitement, the enthusiasm about coming together as the community of faith. During the second week of the Reset series, then I had the opportunity to worship on Sunday morning in Vibe, the new venue that we've started in the Student Center at 10:45, and the energy and the excitement and the enthusiasm that was there was overwhelming and was contagious. And this last week then, just a couple of days after bringing our daughter home from the hospital, my wife and I stayed home and had the opportunity to worship via the web stream. The opportunity to gather not just with members of Church of the Resurrection who were here on campus, but with people throughout the country and across the world who were gathering to worship God and to be a part of this faith community. Each of these venues provided its own level of excitement and enthusiasm. Each of these opportunities for worship provided and brought excitement and energy. And it's my hope that you've been able to see this and to feel this and to experience this yourselves. I trust that as we've moved through that Reset series, you have found some sense of renewed hope for what it might mean if you would reset and if you would allow God to speak to you and to call you to begin living in potentially different ways. And so this evening, as we take this opportunity for us then to talk about celebrating a new kind of Christmas, we're going to talk about what it might mean for us to celebrate a new kind of Christmas for ourselves, what it might mean to celebrate a new kind of Christmas for the world around us, for all of God's creation, and what it might mean for us to celebrate this new kind of Christmas for our families and for our friends. But before we dive in to look at those three specific areas, I want us to do a little bit of background work and look at a greater overarching theme that ties all of this together. A theme that is beautifully illustrated by the scripture that we read this evening that talks about the theme of reconciliation. We are told by tradition that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians when they are a church in the midst of much conflict and turmoil, when there is a sense of embattlement and dissension that exists. And Paul is writing this letter to the people of Corinth and saying to them, be reconciled to one another, because God has already offered reconciliation to you. To use the language that we've been using for the last few weeks, be reset, Paul would say, because God has already offered you the reset. Reconciliation is a theme that Paul uses throughout his writings to the various churches. As he writes to the church at Rome, Paul says this, "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Then much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life." Reconciliation is offered to us as a gift through Christ Jesus. Reconciliation with God is not something that we have to be good enough to accomplish or to achieve. It's not something that we have to earn. It is simply a gift that is given because of God's love poured out to us through Christ Jesus. Paul reminds us of this call to be reconciled to one another because God has already offered us the gift of reconciliation. In today's letter, then, that we look at to the 2 Corinthians, Paul goes to another level in this conversation about reconciliation. Paul says in this letter, "All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us." We are reconciled to God through the love of Christ Jesus, and in turn, we are called to share that message with the world around us. We are to be agents of change that bring about reconciliation. We use the word reconcile a lot in our culture when it comes to our financial dealings. You hear conversation about having to reconcile two statements or having to reconcile two accounts. When we use the word reconcile in this way, what we are saying is that we have to bring two different things into a relationship that is harmonious, that lines up, that is consistent and is compatible. It is the same when we speak about our relationship with God, about the call that we have to make sure that the love that we share with others is consistent with the love that God has shared with us, that we are living out God's reconciliation in consistent and compatible ways with the world around us. And then Paul continues, speaking at an even deeper level about the significance of this reconciliation and the impact that that might have on the world. Paul further emphasizes that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Those who are in Christ, Paul urges, are no longer their own. They are to work and to operate on behalf of God in the world. They are to be about creating a new thing for the world so that this message of reconciliation and God's love can spread throughout creation. It is Paul's call to be reconciled to God and to be reconciled to one another that I want us to hear and I want us to focus on as we move forward this evening and talk about what it might mean for us to celebrate then this new kind of Christmas. If we are to be reconciled to God and reconciled to one another, think about what that might mean for us if we celebrate a new kind of Christmas for ourselves, for the world around us, and for our friends and for our family. First, let's begin by talking about what it might mean for us to celebrate a new kind of Christmas for ourselves this year. I am shocked each year when the statistics and the numbers are released and reported that talk about how expensive Christmas is becoming. Just a couple of weeks ago now, a report was released by the National Retail Federation. It's a report that they do at the end of each October, looking at how much people expect they might spend during the Christmas season. And then after the first of the next year, they look back and they see how much people did spend during that holiday season. This year's survey found that the average American person, this is the average American individual, plans to spend $832.36 on holiday-related shopping and purchasing this year. But what was the most shocking for me about that number was that this dollar amount, even in the midst of the tough economic times that we are currently living, this dollar amount is a 2% increase over what we thought we would spend and what we spent in 2007. It seems as if there is something wired within us that gives us this need to consume and to spend as we celebrate the holidays. As I was doing some research this week, I Googled the phrase Christmas credit card debt, thinking I might find some fun numbers or some fun stories that talked about the debt that we go into during this season. The first article that came back in that search engine was quite telling for me, and I almost laughed out loud as I read the title. Googling Christmas credit card debt, I found the following article: How to Tackle Post-Christmas Credit Card Debt, Dealing with Financial Problems After the Festive Season. Do you get what's going on in that article? The author begins with the baseline assumption that we will spend too much, we will spend more than we can afford, and we will go into credit card debt during the Christmas season. That's his operating assumption. From there, then, he offers us help about what we might do after the fact to pay off and to get out of that debt. Friends, might we be asking the question, what is it that we can do to live differently in these coming weeks so that we don't allow things like that to happen? Beyond the financial stress that we often place ourselves in, though, we often do things to ourselves during the holiday season that are detrimental physically to our well-being. A study was released recently by the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center that showed an interesting number. It showed that the average American between Thanksgiving and New Year will gain 1 to 2 pounds. Now, I know that 1 to 2 pounds might not seem like a significant amount, but that 1 to 2 pounds is weight that the study showed does not come off with New Year's resolutions. It's weight that does not come off once we return to our normal routines and patterns after the first of the year. That 1 to 2 pounds that the study revealed is weight that we carry with us from year to year to year. And so the report and the study then moved toward the logical conclusion, did the simple math for us, and explained that a decade from now, if we continue to live in the way we're living, we will all be 10 to 20 pounds heavier than we are today, and we'll be dealing with all of the associated health risks that come with that. But it's also beyond the things that we do to ourselves financially and the things that we do to ourselves physically that we can experience stress and strain and frustration during the holiday season. Many of us experience a level of brokenness and hurt in our family relationships. And as we gather together and celebrate the holidays, that pain is often magnified and intensified. Many of us have lost loved ones in this last year. And dealing with that loss and the grief that comes with that time, the holiday season is even more difficult as we look to the world around us. For if we're dealing with the stress and the brokenness of our relationships and our family, if we're dealing with the loss of a loved one and the hurt and the grief that comes with that, and we look to the world around us and we see everybody singing songs of joy to the world and of good cheer and energy and excitement and all those kinds of things, we'll find ourselves feeling even more hurt and isolated, lonely and blue. Now, we know that Christmas isn't supposed to be about these things. But we also can admit to ourselves that sometimes it begins to feel that way, doesn't it? Sometimes it begins to feel as if it's all about the spending and the eating and the family tension and the stress. And so might it just be that we need to hear the call to reset? Might it be that we need to be reminded of the greatest gift of the Christmas season? A gift that we do not give and we do not receive. A gift that is not about the meals and the celebrations that we have. A gift that is not about the time that we spend with our families and our friends. That gift that is the greatest gift of the Christmas season is the birth of Jesus the Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Messiah. A gift that is given freely to the world as God extends God's love in a very physical way, showing that God's love comes before us, reaches out to us, and calls us to be reconciled with God's self. And so think about the possibilities. If we could reclaim the significance of that gift and begin to live a new kind of Christmas for ourselves. Secondly, then, let's shift gears now and ask ourselves the question, what might it mean for the world around us? What might it mean for all of creation if we were to celebrate a new kind of Christmas this year? According to a study done by Stanford University's Recycling Center, between Thanksgiving and New Year's each year, American consumers create 25% additional garbage than we do the rest of the year. This excess waste that comes in these few weeks equates to 25 million tons of trash that we put out in celebration of Thanksgiving and Christmas. And if we stop and ask ourselves, what is it that creates all of this extra waste? It's things that we buy that we probably can't afford. It's waste from the food that we eat and the things that we drink and the celebrations that we have. It's the paper goods and the packaging and the waste materials that come with all of those things. And so I find myself asking, mustn't there be a better way? Mustn't there be a different way for us to celebrate the holidays this year? Now, I know that in the coming weeks, we will all hear a plethora of opportunities for the things that we can do for personalized and meaningful and inexpensive Christmas gifts. So I want only to share one thing with you tonight that has been particularly meaningful for me in my life. It's something that my grandfather did for just a couple of years, but it was something that was totally out of character for him. As my grandmother's Alzheimer's was progressing, there were a couple of years that my grandfather, for Christmas, took a family photograph and then took and wrote a note to us explaining who was in the photograph, what was happening in the photograph, the significance of the photograph for our family history and our family story, and that was the gift on those Christmases, the old family photograph and the note that explained it. And I remember that I treasured those gifts more than anything that the most lavish or expensive gift could have ever meant to me. But it goes just beyond the gifts that we give when we talk about what it might mean to live a new kind of Christmas for the world around us. Might it be also that we could take the opportunity as families or as small groups or as individuals to do something intentional for the world around us? If you're not already doing it, I would invite you to make a part of your Christmas celebration an outward expression of God's love, something in the community that is a way of reaching out and sharing that love. Some of my most meaningful and formative Christmases growing up were those Christmases when my family would wake up on Christmas morning and go to our church where we would help prepare and then serve a meal for the homeless population of our community. In that act of serving and in the conversations that surrounded it, I learned more and came to fully understand and appreciate what the gift of Christmas truly means more than in any other way in my life. As people of faith, we need to be concerned about the world around us. We are called by God to be concerned about creation, to be concerned about our fellow brothers and sisters in this world. But so often we let ourselves wear blinders during this holiday season, not thinking about how our actions have ramifications that affect others. But just think about the potential that exists if we would live out this reset, if we would live out this year, this new kind of Christmas for all of God's creation. And finally, then, let's take just a couple of minutes and talk about what it might mean for our friends and for our families and for our coworkers to experience this new kind of Christmas this year. There are exciting things, as I said, happening here at Church of the Resurrection. I've only been here for 5 months yet, but I can sense them and feel them as I visit with people, as I walk through the halls, as I gather with you for worship. There is a sense of energy and excitement about the things that are happening here. But I find myself thinking that there are likely others who need to experience something like that. I thought this week about a story that illustrates well for me the energy and the experiences that are happening here for people. I want to share that story briefly with you. It's the story of a couple members of this congregation named Ed and Mary Foster. Ed was the first hospital visit that I made when I came to the church back in July. I was asked to go in to see Ed following surgery that he had had the previous day. So I went to the hospital to see Ed, and I found him in his room in excruciating pain. Ed and Mary were both there, and we visited briefly, but it was clear to me that he was in a great deal of pain, and so I extended God's love on behalf of the church. I prayed with them, and then I excused myself and headed back to the car. And as I walked back to the car, I remember thinking to myself, wow, that was a pretty unimpressive hospital visit. I remember thinking to myself that surely God must be at work in some way beyond what I had brought to that room. And he was. And at the time, I didn't realize it, but there were so many other things going on behind the scenes that helped touch Ed and Mary's lives in dramatic ways. Another pastor had been present to pray with them before the surgery. Members of the Church of the Resurrection had gone to visit them and had extended care and love on behalf of this, their church family. They had been given a prayer shawl that was knitted by one of the ministries here at the church as a way of wrapping them in love and in prayer and saying that your church family remembers you and lifts you up. Ed and Mary had been touched in a variety of ways that I wasn't even aware of when I made that visit that day. Several weeks after I had been to the hospital to see Ed, I was back getting ready to lead worship, and Ed was back by the choir room. I asked him how he was doing. He said he was feeling great, and he was excited that night to tell me that he was here getting trained to run one of the cameras and to be a part of our production team. A couple of weeks later, I saw Mary at a training for Sunday school teachers, and she told me that she had wanted to find a way to plug in and to get involved. They both told me the same thing. They said that they had been so touched and so blessed by the love of this church family that reached out to them during their time of need, that they wanted to find a way to give back. They wanted to find a way to plug in where there was a need and to serve the church family so that they could be a blessing to others in the same way that God had been a blessing to them through this church family. This is the kind of thing that is happening here at Church of the Resurrection all of the time. This is the kind of thing that is happening here because of the work that you are doing, sharing Christ's love with one another and being the body of Christ here in this place. And so might it be that we know a couple of people in our family or in our friends or who we work with, a couple of people who are still trapped in those cycles of Christmas that tell us it is all about consuming and buying and spending. Might it be that we know a couple of people who would benefit from being invited to come into this place and to celebrate this year a new kind of Christmas, to reset their lives and to live that out. Today in your bulletin there is a postcard. A postcard that has some information on it about our upcoming Advent worship series, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we close this evening. But we want you to make sure that you take this postcard with you and use it as a tool to share with others and to invite them to come and to be a part of the things that are happening here through Advent. There also will be an email put together that you can send out with a promotional video in it. And in a couple of weeks, you'll have a postcard in your bulletin that talks a bit about Christmas Eve here at Resurrection and the ways in which you can invite your friends to come and to experience that special time. It is up to you, as the members of this church, to extend Christ's love, to extend that gift of reconciliation, and to invite your friends, your family, and your co-workers to come into this place and to help celebrate and experience together this new kind of Christmas. Now, as we prepare to wrap up, I want to just make an acknowledgement and share briefly the acknowledgement that this is tough work. As you continue to live out your reset, and as you continue to make the decision to do so each and every day, if you are surrounded by a family who is trying to do this together, if you are surrounded by a small group, you will greatly benefit from the love that they are sharing and the ability to draw strength from one another as you journey. But if you're the only person in your circle of friends or in your family who's trying to reset, it's going to be challenging. It will feel difficult as they look at you and question what it is that you're trying to do with this Christmas. And so I invite you before you leave tonight to look around this room and to know that you are surrounded by others who desire to journey with you. Take the opportunity to be in worship and to draw on that strength through this Advent season. Well, think about joining a small group and getting involved in group life so that you can be strengthened as you journey through this life. It's shocking, really, when we think about it. Advent is a season in which we prepare our lives and prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus. And as we make these preparations to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the things that we end up doing as a culture reflect in interesting ways. We spend too much money that we don't have and we go into debt. We eat and drink in ways that are detrimental to our health. We create a huge amount of waste and we do things that are bad for the environment. And we live out these strained and broken and frustrated relationships with our families and our friends that are magnified in ways beyond any other time of the year. I find myself thinking, if Jesus were to come back and to attend one of these birthday celebrations that we have, if he were to sit down with us and to engage us in some conversation, he might have some difficult questions to ask us about why it is that we're doing what we're doing to celebrate his birth. And so I ask you once again, might it be that we have an opportunity tonight, that we have an opportunity in these coming weeks to reset? After the first week of the Reset series, I was talking to a friend of mine. She was out in the narthex and had been by the spring, by the coffee shop that's there. And somebody came by with a big tray of cookies and offered her one of these cookies, you know, big, nice, fresh, soft-looking cookies. She said that as she took one of those cookies to eat, she literally thought to herself, I guess I'll just reset tomorrow. How often do we make decisions to do things like this? Trust me, I know the tendency to want to push back hitting the reset button until a more convenient or an easier time. Trust me, I understand the desire to push back hitting the reset button until it makes more sense or would be more comfortable. But I imagine that many of you might be saying to yourselves tonight, I do need to take better care of myself. I could exercise better. I could eat more healthily. I'll start doing that after Thanksgiving and Christmas. Or I imagine that some of you tonight might be saying to yourselves, I might have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol, but I can't imagine getting through the stress of my family gatherings without having a drink to take the edge off. I'll just make that my 2009 New Year's resolution. But my hope would be that tonight we might choose to reset. Because these coming weeks have the potential to be stressful, to be frustrating, to be tiring, to be exhausting as we deal with the expectations and the anxieties that are placed upon us. But if we make that decision to reset and to live out a new kind of Christmas, these coming weeks have the potential to be rewarding, to be full of hope and to be full of joy as we reclaim the Christmas season and as we celebrate this new kind of Christmas for ourselves, for the world around us, for our friends, and for our family. And so as we close this evening, I want to invite you into a time of prayer. I want to invite you to take a moment and to pray that you might find ways to reset. I want you to consider making commitments to God about how you hope to live through Thanksgiving and through Christmas this year, about those things that you might need to reset in your life. I want you to think about those people that you might invite to come and to reset with us, to be a part of celebrating this new kind of Christmas, those family members and friends that might benefit from the things that are happening here. Some of you maybe have never made a commitment to follow God in such a way, and so I would invite you to do that tonight as well. A simple prayer that says, Jesus, I hear this story of reconciliation and I want to reset. I want to live as you would have me live. But I invite you to take the opportunity tonight to reset now so that it can be a new kind of Christmas this year, something that is about spreading God's love and transforming the world. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for the love that you give to us and the reconciliation that you offer. We are grateful for all of the ways in which you pour out your love into our lives and call us to share that love with others. God, it is scary to think about what it might mean to begin doing things differently. We've already started making our lists. We've already started planning our meals. We've already started doing our shopping. What would it look like for us to make intentional decisions and to celebrate a new kind of Christmas this year? But God, we hear you speaking to us. We hear you calling out to us and telling us that there is so much that needs to be done. So much that needs to be done in our own lives. So much that needs to be done for this world that is such a gift. So much that needs to be done for our friends, our family members, our co-workers. And so we give our hearts to you tonight, God. We lay them out before you. We pray that you might help us with this difficult task of resetting. We pray that you might mold us and shape us so that this year and for years to come, we might truly experience a new kind of Christmas. We pray all of these things in your holy name. Amen.